Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for May 2nd, 2011, the podcast where we don't know the meaning of the word floxynouncynilipilification. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's take down the news of the bogus. British comedian Richard Coughlin of the Coughlin 616 channel on YouTube has announced another winner of his 2011 Ponage Olympics, this time for Best Educational Ponage. Here the award has gone to Grappling Ignorance for his ponage of Wendy Wright and her plea to teach the controversy.
The position we've taken is teach the controversy. Teach all the information, not just selected information that promotes one viewpoint, which most of the times that's evolution. But let's teach all the information so that the school children can learn how to think for themselves and come to their own conclusions.
Grappling Ignorance then gives us a look inside the classroom at Wendy Wright High School.
Now settle down, class. We have a very busy day ahead of us. First, we need to review last week's information about evolution. The state mandates now that we teach the controversy, so you'll need to make some adjustments on your study guides for the test this Thursday. Here we see photographs of some of the transitional fossils along the human ancestral line called Ardipithecus and Australopithecus. This should all be reviewed, so I really want to focus on the newly acceptable answers. On this next slide, for example, is a test question you might come across based on those photos. Which of the following are transitional fossils in the human ancestry? A. Tyrannosaurus and Stegosaurus, B. Ardipithecus and Australopithecus, or C. Pachycetus and Derudon. Now, obviously, the correct answer is B, but the new movement to teach the controversy has required me to also include another acceptable answer. So on the test, you'll also have D. No transitional fossils exist. La la la, I can't hear you. I'd also like to show you a couple of directions you might take for your short answer portion of your test. Here is one acceptable summation of the origin of different species on Earth. This is an exemplar from the student who scored the highest on the test last semester. As random genetic mutations occur within an organism's genetic code, mutations beneficial to survival are preserved through natural selection. Mutations that make hosts more desirable mates also tend to be preserved because it increases the rate of reproduction, which is called sexual selection. These beneficial mutations are passed on to the next generation. Over time, beneficial mutations accumulate and the result is an entirely different organism. Here's an alternative response that will now receive an equal amount of full credit on the test. God done it. If there are no further questions on the evolution test for this week, I'd like to move on to this week's unit about weather. Let's start with lightning, shall we? Lightning is produced in thunderstorms when liquid and ice particles above the freezing level collide and build up large electrical fields in the clouds. When the electric fields grow large enough, a giant spark occurs between them, or between them and the ground, like static electricity. The giant spark is what we recognize as a bolt of lightning, which can occur between clouds, between the cloud and air, or between the cloud and the ground. I'm also obligated to inform you of the alternative possibility that these bolts are actually being hurled down to Earth from Mount Olympus by an enraged god, Zeus. Sorry, Wendy, but this isn't the way education works. And if you're going to consider what the Bible says to be information worthy of teaching to our children, then you're going to have to do the same thing for every other religion considers information. And if you don't want the Torah, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon being taught to our children as factual information, then you're going to have to avoid using the Bible as something that should be taught to our children as factual information as well, and then letting them just decide for themselves. So if you don't want every other religion that's ever been around to be represented as factual information, then I recommend you applying whatever standard it is you hold those against to keep them from being taught in schools to your religion as well. And then maybe we'll have enough room to actually keep the curriculum focused on information that's based on empirical evidence. And that's the way that anyone who's a responsible adult taking a position to decide what children are going to learn behaves.
Congratulations, Grappling Ignorance! We'll continue to cover the winners as they're announced. From our No Good Deed Goes Unpunished department, Boeing has been building a new factory to build its 787 Dreamliner airplanes near Charleston in the economically beleaguered South Carolina, and have already hired over 1,000 employees. But now GovCo says the factory is illegal and wants to shut them down. Why? Because South Carolina is a right-to-work state, where employees cannot be forced to join labor unions. the National Labor Relations Board filed a complaint against Boeing, saying they only did this to avoid potential strikes by union workers, which isn't even illegal in the first place. It's even Supreme Court precedent. So what does the NLRB want Boeing to do? Expand its Puget Sound facility, creating new jobs in Washington, of course. Except that Boeing is already doing that. They've already expanded and hired another 2,000 workers in the Puget Sound area. This new factory is in addition to, not replacing that. The timing of this is also weird. They said boo about it in 2009 when construction of the factory started. But as it nears completion and employees stand ready to work, now they complain. Maybe GovCo's just jealous because Boeing created 3,000 new jobs at a time when government policies have destroyed so many. And what sort of precedent are they trying to set? That you can only create jobs in union states? Actually, the origin of all of this is the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, who complained to the NLRB. According to the union's vice president, Rich Mikulski, this is retaliation for a 2008 strike, and he said, Boeing's decision to build a 787 assembly line in South Carolina sent a message that Boeing workers would suffer financial harm for exercising their collective bargaining rights. Yeah, Boeing's message is loud and clear. If you dare strike against us, then we'll create 2,000 new jobs in your location and 1,000 somewhere else. How horrible! What a terrible message to send, and what a horrible retaliation for... Wait, what? Come on, people. This is just political cronyism. Don't go thinking the very same corporatism the left complains about all the time doesn't happen with big labor unions as well. And these unions apparently have the president and his administration in their back pockets. Whatever good labor unions have served in the past, it's clear that when they get a certain size and gain a certain amount of political influence, they start working against the interests of their own members and work for their own political gain instead. Maybe that's why they're having such a hard time unionizing workers in states where the workers aren't forced to join. If workers everywhere could decide for themselves whether to join a union, then maybe the unions would have an incentive to actually work for the interests of their members, as opposed to scoring cheap political points by complaining about a company that's creating thousands of jobs at a time when those jobs are so desperately needed. If someone were to write a handbook on how to wage war, chapter 1 would have to be titled, Lie. Lies come into every aspect of war, especially the justifications for waging it. And the United States has not waged a single war that the justifications for it weren't lied about in some way, from the War of 1812 to the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, both World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, on and on and on, up to and including the current rigmarole in Libya. According to Human Rights Watch, Muammar al-Qaddafi is not targeting civilians, as the Obama administration claimed. In fact, he's gone out of his way to target only armed rebels. Qaddafi might be a vicious, warmongering dictator, but he's not stupid. He knows that if he starts attacking civilians, the rebellion against him will only grow. It's a lesson Obama doesn't seem to have learned, after claiming the power to hold American citizens indefinitely even after acquittal, or even to assassinate them if he thinks they're terrorists. And now his approval rating has plunged to 40%, with only 23% strongly approving. Obama made the reasons for going into Libya clear. If we waited one more day, Benghazi could suffer a massacre that would have reverberated across the region and stained the conscience of the world. But no such massacre was even considered by Qaddafi or any of his forces. Obama made a big deal of Qaddafi's no mercy warning, but neglected to mention that he was only referring to those in armed rebellion, and he offered amnesty for any rebels who would lay down their arms. This ranks up there with the lies that Saddam Hussein's regime pulled babies out of incubators. It would merely be pathetic were it not for the fact that real lives are at stake, including lives of everyday Americans who are almost certainly faced with a greater threat of blowback from yet another war of intervention, one built on lies and one that will almost certainly increase death and suffering. But I guess that's okay, as long as it's done with the best of intentions, right? Put down anything sharp or pointed, because we're going to look at this week's biggest bogon emitter. Power Balance is a company that sells magic amulets in the form of these cheap silicone bracelets with a cheesy hologram that, according to the company, aligns your body's natural frequencies with, I don't know, the Force or something. The practical upshot is that you experience improved balance and agility whenever someone does a cheesy parlor trick on you. Richard Saunders of the Australian Skeptics demonstrated how this technique, called applied kinesiology, is nothing more than flummery. This led to legal action where Power Balance was forced to admit that, quote, "There is no credible scientific evidence that supports our claims, and therefore we engaged in misleading conduct." But only apparently in Australia. Well, now a class action lawsuit has caused the Power Balance people to post yet another disclaimer on their website. It reads, in part, note, the following has been Kluon enhanced for purposes of clarity. As with many early technologies, especially one involving Eastern origins, we recognize the potential for confusion in the marketplace.
Especially considering that we're the ones deliberately causing the confusion in the first place.
And concede that we got ahead of ourselves with claims about our first product.
Like the fact that it actually does anything at all.
While we have yet to fully document its benefits.
Although you can probably expect to see bogus, shoddily done papers on its efficacy appearing in some of the less reputable journals in the near future.
We are wholly committed to the continued development of Power Balance products.
Continued fleecing of gullible consumers, more like.
In association with athletes around the world.
So we're not going to stop all these bogus celebrity endorsements.
Shortly before this podcast was recorded, the Power Balance people took down this page, but we preserved an image of the Google cache at bogosity.tv. The link is in the show notes. The only effect the Power Balance bracelet has is the placebo effect. So if you want all the benefits of the Power Balance band, but don't want to shell out $70, just get an ordinary rubber band. It works just as well. And if you really want the cheap silicone and cheesy hologram goodness, you'll come off much cheaper buying a genuine placebo band. They're available from SkepticBros.com for just around $2. A 3,500% markup for a product that does absolutely nothing, and the only thing they say they did wrong was not documenting it well enough? The Power Balance people just have to be this week's biggest bogon emitter. Now it's time to do some donuts in the lawn of this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, our politicians in Washington apparently consider it their solemn duty to spread as much misinformation about economics as possible. And since no one had apparently said anything stupid and completely ignorant of Econ 101 in the last, 35 seconds, Illinois Representative Jesse Jackson Jr. stepped in to fill the void.
In the 112th Congress, unemployment is at 9%, and not a single piece of legislation considered by the 112th Congress has done anything to address 13 million unemployed Americans.
Well, you're right there, Jackson. So tell us, what's your answer to the problem of unemployment?
A few short weeks ago, I came to the House floor after having purchased an iPad, and I said that I happen to believe, Mr. Speaker, that at some point in time, this new device, which is now probably responsible for eliminating thousands of American jobs, now Borders is closing stores because why do you need to go to Borders anymore?
Yeah, and why do they need buggy whips? Just buy a car. Think of all the unemployment cars we'll create. No more buggy whips, no more livery stables, no more guys cleaning up horse shit from the side of the road. It's an economic disaster! Of course, one nagging little problem for Jackson is that Borders was already going under because Barnes & Noble is kicking them in the pants with a much better bookstore than them. Why cherry-pick Borders, Jackson? Hey, I know. Maybe Steve Jobs put in a time travel component and the iPad went back in time to 2005 and bankrupted Media Play. How diabolical.
Chicago State University in my congressional district, in freshman class, they're not being given textbooks any longer. They're all being given iPads as they enter school. President Wayne Watson hopes to have a textbookless campus within 4 years, where at this state university, they no longer have textbooks.
The horror! You mean they'll actually be able to get their textbooks cheaper?
and not have to carry around tons of heavy books on their backs? The fiends! Let's hang them all now!
Well, what becomes of publishing companies that, and publishing company jobs? What becomes of bookstores and librarians and all of the jobs associated with paper?
Yeah, and what becomes of all those candle makers and lamplighters when this newfangled light bulb comes to market, huh? What becomes of them? What becomes of them? Those economic resources, no longer being tied up making obsolete junk, can now be redirected into the new generation of jobs and productivity. Jackson is running afoul of Frederick Bastiat's point to look at the unseen as well as the seen. He sees the loss of jobs that the iPad results in, but what about all the jobs created as a result? And what about the money college students and others will save as a result? That money then goes towards other products and services creating more jobs. And surely the amount of gas that isn't burned shipping these heavy books around all over the country, well, that's good for the environment, isn't it? And what about the longer-term benefits? No longer saddled to physical paper that's hard to replicate, students will have more and better access to the latest textbooks with up-to-date information, putting them in a better position to be the next generation of scientists, doctors, lawyers, architects, engineers, producers, and entrepreneurs. Out-of-date textbooks has been a long-standing problem in both public schools and institutes of higher learning. Tablet computers like the iPad could make that a thing of the past. Not to mention that you can do a lot more with an iPad than just read books. One device that allows them to do programming, plot graphs, write, edit, do audiovisual media and presentations. Once implemented, this technology could open up a whole new realm of education.
The iPad is produced in China. It's not produced here in the United States.
So what? If you knew anything at all about economics, Jackson, you'd know the goods produced elsewhere only free up resources we can use on other things. The fact that we aren't has more to do with our monetary, banking, and regulatory policies than it does with Steve Jobs making a nifty little computer. According to economists Nicole V. Crane and W. Mark Crane, total regulatory costs of all American businesses in 2008 were $1.8 trillion, but corporate profits were only $1.5 trillion. And this isn't a new trend. Costs of regulatory compliance have outstripped profits for over a decade now. And government just keeps adding on more and more regulations every year, tens of thousands of pages. The regulatory drain on our economy is enormous and must be addressed. And that has nothing to do with the iPad, except to perhaps explain why it's being produced in China instead of facing the burdensome and expensive regulations here in the U.S. Anyway, so what's Jackson's solution to all of this? What does he suggest we do about the iPad menace? Typical. Of course, back in March, Jackson did give his formula for creating more jobs, and it was...
the right to a decent education for every American. How many schools would such a right build from Maine to California? How many people would be put to work building roofs and designing classrooms and providing every student with an iPod and a laptop?
You know, sometimes there just are no words. But this time, there are lots of them. Hypocrite, backslider, dissembler, humbug, bluffer, flip-flopper, blackguard, miscreant, biscumber, fribble, opportunist, knave, exerebros, prodigal, and, of course...
idiot extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this sesquipedalian edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and participate in discussions about these subjects and anything else you like. And if you'd like to participate in the Bogosity Podcast, you can send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. If you put it in an MP3 file, it just might get played in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from Groucho Marx. Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License.
Bogosity.